crosses from last year's Palm Sunday service. And I said the ancient Christian words that claim us as we embark on the Lenten journey: remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. These are ancient words, and they are words of identity. They are words Christians have been invited into across the church, deeply steeped in the Christian tradition. Anglicans, Lutherans, Presbyterian, United Catholic, throughout all of Christendom, throughout the ages. This practice is a reminder of who we are as God's beloved children. And we prayed together afterwards. And during that time, it was evident to me by the depth of the prayers offered by these students from different countries around the world that an identity of beloved of God was something that they all leaned into to get through the pressures of student life, the courage to come and study in a new country, and the assurance that who they are is a gift from God that is still and yet unfolding. It was a privilege to be with them. On Wednesday evening, Ash Wednesday, a small and faithful group of us gathered here in the worship space to receive the ashes and to hear the same ancient words. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Words that are not so easy to hear. In fact, it is rather uncomfortable to be reminded of one's mortality. Who wants to be told that despite everything we have accomplished, everything we have achieved, everything that we have accumulated, will not change that fact, and in the end, we will all be dust? I told those gathered here on Wednesday night that my friend Karen always says to me, "Hey, Anita, it's Ash Wednesday, the day we get to remind our parishioners that they're all going to die." And we even get to rub it in their faces. But all kidding aside, to be told that we are loved and claimed by God beyond our mortality, not by the culmination of our efforts, but by God's grace alone for the sake of God's mission, can be hard to hear. It is difficult to remember who we are when we are tempted by our own efforts to prove our own worth. So cue the scene of today's gospel in the first Sunday of Lent, where we find Jesus, newly baptized by John the Baptist, full of the Holy Spirit, declared by God to be God's beloved own Son. The very same thing we heard God say about Jesus this past Transfiguration Sunday. The beloved Son of God is now led from the Jordan into the wilderness by God to come face to face with the devil himself. Can you almost hear the deceiver's polite introduction as sung by Mick Jagger? "Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste." But Jesus, on the other hand, was introduced by God's own voice, revealing to us not just who Jesus is, but his mission and God's will, which Luke will depict in the next narrative. And we heard weeks ago Jesus preaching in the temple and announcing that his mission is to bring good news to the oppressed. Now, we modern-day followers of Jesus might hear the story of Jesus' trials with the ultimate adversary and conflate them with our own ability to fight our own temptations, thinking that during Lent, the point of this text is to not be tempted by coffee or chocolate or the internet. After all, isn't that what the season of Lent is all about? Giving up the things that tempt us for a period of 5 weeks to prove how devout a Christian we are? Not really. The liturgical timing of this story in all of the Gospels during Lent might have something to do with our tendency to make it more about our efforts and less about God. However, Luke offers us much to consider in Lent, namely that Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is Jesus' temptation alone and not ours. And if we do enter into a Lenten practice of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving, it is done only in the same way that we would add something healthy into our daily routine to make space to be with God, gratefully accepting God's wish for wholeness and life for all of humanity. On Thursday evening, some of us, along with many people from the wider community, took the Machozen Challenge. Now, I wouldn't compare the Machozen Challenge to Jesus' trials in the wilderness, but it is a challenge that we as a parish host during the season of Lent to invite the wider community into mutual challenge of expanding our worldview. People can engage in the challenge for whatever reason they wish, but as Christians or as people of St. Mary's, this is our opportunity to reflect during Lent on how our identity as beloved children of a loving God shapes our response to that love in our world. We welcomed from the University of Victoria Dr. Robert Gifford, a professor of psychology and the environment, to share some of the ways that we become paralyzed in the face of climate change, and also shared some solutions to shift our thinking. We were also fortunate to welcome three young climate activists from Pearson College into our midst. They were about 17 years old, the three of them. Chloe was from Vanuatu, Bella was from Australia, and Noah was from the Netherlands. Now, I don't know if these young people identify as beloved of Christ, but I can assure you that in their time here at St. Mary's on Thursday evening, they felt beloved of Christians. They were grateful to share insight and wisdom from their respective countries on the youth perspective on our climate change. They shared their concerns from their heart in the form of a brilliant slam poetry piece that they'll perform later this month at the McPherson Theater at their One World production. They shared stories and statistics. They fielded questions from the crowd and answered with poise, intelligence, and so much grace. When I gifted them on your behalf with jars of Blackberry Festival jam as a thank you, you should have seen their response of gratitude. I said, "It's just a small token of our thanks." But the way they gushed over having received a gift of blackberry jam, you'd think they don't get fed over at Pearson College. Wally may have put them over the top when he parceled up the leftover cookies and sent them along with them. They said, "Thank you for letting us share our story with you, and you can invite us back here anytime." I have no doubt that their lives are spirit-led, and that God has blessed us immensely with their presence on Thursday night. To offer a place of hospitality, to engage with our neighbor, is part of our identity in Christ. Do we know who we are? It's a good question, something to ask ourselves during the time of Lent. Luke's narrative about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is also about identity and relationship. "If you are the Son of God," the deceiver challenges Jesus, "then you would much rather identify with the self-sufficiency of Adam, who was also the Son of God." But Jesus knows who he is. "If you are the Son of God, you would see that accomplishing God's mission would be much easier with shortcuts and power." But Jesus knows who he is. "If you are the Son of God, then you can forget God's mission and enjoy God's protection and safety and comfort." But again, Jesus knows who he is. These temptations were for Jesus alone, because we, like Adam, we would not have succeeded where Jesus alone could and will succeed in what God needs accomplished again at the end of our Lenten journey as he enters into Jerusalem to his death on a cross. A big part of our Lenten journey is to remember who we are. It is to carve out and to create space to remember to whom we belong. It is no coincidence that the sign that the priest makes on our forehead in the ash and oil is the sign of the cross. The very same anointing with water, word, oil, and assembly that claims us in our baptism and names us as God's beloved, grafted to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and promises us a new life, a heaven beyond the reality of this world that is now in this very time and also still to come. We will know very well that the temptations of this world that are from the deceiver is the temptation to believe the lies that tell anyone, any one of us, that we are anything less than beloved. Now, I'm not going to list off all the forces of this world that tell some that they are worthless and others that they are powerful and act in accordance to that. But the Gospel of Luke this day tells us clearly where that lie originates and how and by whom that lie is conquered for the sake of the world. We all know the things that separate us from God and God's love, and we all know the ways in which we participate to keep God's love away from some and not others. But in the end, it is good to know that these attempts are pretty futile because God is relentless. God's claim on us is relentless. God's love for us is relentless, and so we look to Jesus as his disciples, rejoicing in whom he rejoices with out of gratitude. We look to Jesus, encountering others and allowing God to expand our lives through them out of gratitude. We look to Jesus as his disciples, knowing who we are. And we look to Jesus as his disciples, trusting that God has a plan, that God blesses us relentlessly to participate in for the sake of the other. My brothers and sisters, God will nourish us on our journey. God will send others to receive in hospitality and will send us to others to share in theirs. God will accompany us on our journey with a fierce blessing whether we give up chocolate or not. And we will let go of our need to be God and be assured that God is God. And because Jesus fulfills his mission, ordained by God, all will be well. I'm going to leave you with a poem that I found this week. It was posted by Jan Richardson for International Women's Day, but I think that it describes the blessing of our Lenten journey. And it is called Fierce Blessing. Believe me when I say, there is nothing this blessing would not do to protect you, to save you, to encompass you. This blessing would stand between you and every danger, every evil, every harm and hurt. This blessing would dare to wade with you into the waters that come offering life. It would make a way for you through the waters that come threatening death. I cannot explain how fierce this blessing feels about you, but I can tell you, it has more than pledged itself to you. It would lay down its life for you and not once look back in regret, nor go in sorrow for what it has chosen to give. And you, so deeply blessed, so utterly encompassed, what will you save in turn? Not because it is owed, but because you cannot imagine failing to pass along this grace that casts its circle so wide, this love that flows so deep through the perilous and precious life. Amen. I invite you to rise and turn to hymn number 175, and we'll sing together the 40 days and 40 nights.